All right, good morning, everyone. Okay. So Judaism in plastic surgery, or Judaism in cosmetic surgery. So it's an interesting topic, I think. And I'm not the first to discuss it, obviously, but it has been discussed. And I think there's a couple of issues. The first that we should talk about is the role of beauty in Judaism and Jewish thought. Beauty. And so that's obviously connected to plastic surgery. Number two would be the philosophical idea of changing your body and your look in light of the fact that, you know, God created us this way. There's a sheet up here. If you want, there's a sheet. And then number three would be sort of like the Jewish law, like the halacha, like what the different scholars have to say about the topic of
women,
of getting plastic surgery, and are there any issues from a Jewish law perspective. I'll say from the outset, the bottom line will be, if you're interested in it, I make no judgments. You ask your rabbi. There's different opinions that we'll see. So, and then we'll also talk about, in general, the idea of plastic surgery and the pros and the cons. Meaning, forget Judaism. Just in general, from a physical, medical perspective and more, what are the pros and cons of plastic surgery that, if a person is thinking about it, that they should just keep in mind before they have the surgery. Okay? But first, we'll talk about beauty in Judaism. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to cover the entire topic, but just a little bit. And
I see beauty as looks and the beauty of inner things. This is the real things, the inner beauty.
There's outer beauty and there's inner beauty, external and internal. Excellent. So when we say beauty, we should keep in mind doesn't just mean the physical, the outside, but even the inside, the interior. Very good. Okay, but let's start with the external. So the first source is the verse in Proverbs, Eish Hashayil, like you identified. It's the second to last verse in all of Proverbs. So you might have sung it at some point. Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi. Yisha Yirat Adonai. He Tetalo. Right? So grace is deceptive. Grace, again, all these words can, if we were going through it, we could spend hours on it. What each word means, right? So it could mean charm, which doesn't necessarily mean beauty, but yofi usually means physical beauty. Okay, hevel. Obviously, the word hevel can mean different things. But you know, it means illusory, meaning it's not really there. It's sort of fleeting. It's not real, so to speak. Okay. A woman that fears God, she should be praised. So, what's the ideal for a Jewish woman and man? But the whole poem is about a Jewish woman. So who should be praised? The woman that fears God, not necessarily the one that is beautiful. Now, that point will be delved into a little bit in a second. There is a Talmud Bavli. There are a lot of passages in the Talmud that discuss beauty and beautiful women, and from different angles. So I just picked one. It's actually a very interesting Talmud. Yeah.
Isn't beauty in the eyes of the individual?
Right, beauty in the eyes of the beholder. So maybe that's an interpretation of the first part of the verse, that Sheker Echein Veheva Yofi, meaning not that it doesn't exist, but rather it's, like it says, it's deceptive. It's not black and white. It changes based on a person's perception. So
I was divided, good looking beauty.
Yeah, yeah, but he's saying even within...
I didn't hear what she said.
Oh, awesome. She says again about the inner beauty and the outer beauty, but he's talking specifically about even outer beauty, you know, everyone's, you know, usually when you get married, it's safe to say that there is an attraction between the man and the woman, or else, but... different people are attracted to different things. So, guy A, let's just be frank, might not think that girl A is attractive, but guy B does. So that's all that matters. So guy B and girl A get married, right? So that's what you're saying. It's not like beautiful, like everyone's walking around with a sign. I'm beautiful, I'm not beautiful, objectively. It's all based on... But, I mean, the truth is, I think there is actually a beauty scale that they do, like, for face, that, like, the skin, and it takes into account the proportion.
Big eyes.
Right, the proportion of the eyes, of the face.
There are
standards for that, but that's just one part of it, I think.
When we talk about a nice person, we say about a beautiful person.
Yeah. That's true. Right. You could say someone's a beautiful person, not necessarily be talking about their looks. If you talk about being attractive, then it's more about looks. Yes.
Wonderful the baby who is born with them.
Yeah. Let's.
If he doesn't have plastic surgery.
Yeah. Let's save that for the end.
That's not cosmetic.
Let's save that for the end. Okay, let's just stick with beauty. But that's a good point. Well, right now we're just talking about beauty. So, and I apologize. We have to keep moving a little bit because I need to leave shortly after the class. So, okay. So the Talmud says Amar. Lo mekabli alai inshi besi. So basically, it's this one rabbi speaking to his teacher, and he says that basically the members of my household. He's a euphemism. He's saying that his wife is not attractive to me anymore, or she never was. I mean, the question is, so then why did you marry her in the first place? But okay, but basically, Amar le. Mashma. So the rabbi said to his student, okay, what's her name? Chana. So her name is Chana, the guy answered, the student. So then, Tisyafi Chana, Venus Yafes. So then the teacher, again, we could talk a different class about different powers that supernatural that the rabbis seem to have. It seems that he, I don't know what he did, but he said she should become beautiful and she became beautiful. Again, it's somewhat miraculous. But, okay, and again, why did he have to ask what her name was? That could be another question. Okay, Amar le kamignadra alai. The student says, now that she's beautiful, now she thinks that she's becoming a little bit more haughty, right? She's becoming, you know, a little bit more of a boss in the house, and he didn't like that, right? Because now she's more attractive, so now she's, you know, people look at her differently, and now all of a sudden she's too much for him. He can't handle it. She's on a higher level. So now he didn't like that. Okay. So Amar le yachi tachzor chana l'shachru ruse. V'chazor chana l'shachru ruse. So then the rabbi said, okay, fine. So then he brought her back to what she was before he made her beautiful. Because what happened? So basically, you know, the rabbi, the student thought that he wanted something, is wanting his wife to be more beautiful. And then it happened. But then you have to be careful what you wish for, because her personality changed based on her externals. And then he didn't like that. So then he wanted it changed back. And obviously, we could go on and on about this Gemara, about it seems a little bit like the husband is controlling things by saying what he wants and his wife what he doesn't want. So, you know, a person could take issue with that. But be that as it may, I think what... let me just make one point and then I'll call on you. I think And there's other Gemaras also that talk about beauty in women, but I think that the beauty spoken about in all these different Midrashim, right? There's another Midrash about how women in Egypt used mirrors to make themselves more beautiful so that they would ensure that their husbands would still feel attractive to them even after being very tired from all the work, which then produced more offspring. And so the mirrors that they used in Egypt were then used later for the kior, for the laver in the Mishkan, as a tribute to those women. So that's another midrash. Again, that's talking about beauty. One could ask, what do you mean? Why the husband shouldn't have cared about it? The women shouldn't have cared about it. You're in Judaism, you know, everything's for the sake of heaven. What's beauty doing? So the answer is, I think that it's all in the context of marriage or preparing for marriage. There's a holiday, Tu B'Av, which we don't really celebrate, the 15th of Av, but the Talmud tells us that the girls used to dress in white and go out and dance in the streets, and they used to basically try to get engaged to different men, and the ones that were pretty said that, you know, I'm pretty, so you look at me. The ones that came from a wealthy family said, I'm wealthy. The ones that had neither but had a good family said that, look at me, I'm from a good family, right? Our children of good lineage. And the ones without any of that, they say that, Sheker Achein V'Hevel Ayofi. The verse we just said, that there's nothing to beauty and all this stuff. It's only, right? And I'm a God-fearing girl, so marry me. Forget everything else. So that's an interesting concept unto itself. But again, it's talking about marriage. So I think that beauty is about helping the husband and wife relationship, and not necessarily about beauty itself. That's not to say that a single lady who's not in the marriage state anymore for whatever reason shouldn't try to look beautiful. But I think when we're emphasizing beauty in these different midrashim, I think it's clearly pointing towards marriage and not just beauty for its own sake, which could lead to not such noble things, right? But the beauty, like in the context, one second, like in this Gemara, it's about the husband and the wife, and in the Egypt, it's about the wives and the husbands, and same with the one about the girls dancing. It's all about getting married and being married and attractive. So, but at the same time, toho kiboro, right? There's another concept that we say that a person, that their insides should be like their outsides, which is brings it back to what you were saying, that beauty, if you're beautiful, in Judaism, a beautiful woman, but doesn't have any, you know, redeeming traits, right? And she's not a good person and doesn't help people and thinks highly of herself, too highly of herself, right? So that, I don't think, is the ideal in Judaism, right? It's the beauty of the outside. Once you have the inside beauty, then the outside beauty is okay. And it's encouraged, again, in the marital sense. Therefore, just to bring it back to the verse, so the Vilna Gaon, right, who is amazingly, unbelievable scholar, he says, one second, that the verse, when it doesn't mean necessarily that beauty in Jewish women does not exist or should not exist or is a bad thing. He reads the verse as saying that Sheker Achein V'Hevel Ayofi, that beauty is worthless, but Yishai Yiran Hashem, a woman that fears God, once a woman has that, meaning once, and that would extend to being, you know, good to other people, right?
Character, he
titalal, she should be praised. That could be referring to the woman, on a simple level, it's referring to the woman herself, and it's just, you know, referring back to, but he says, maybe she is referring back to Chain and Yofi, that once you have beauty, so then he titalal, so then the beauty itself is praised once it comes along with a God-fearing woman. So if you have the God-fearing woman that also happens to be beautiful, Hitatalal. That's praiseworthy, right? So it's an interesting way of reading it, but it's important because without it, then you might say there's God-fearing women and there's beautiful women, but they're on opposite sides of what we want. And so he tries to bring them together, that if you have the beauty, you also need to have the inner beauty, being a nice person, being God-fearing, and then the two of them together go well, right?
I would say there is an outer beauty. This is the beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And the inner beauty.
Yeah. Okay. Right, and the same person, the beautiful, you could have...
ugly and insulting and selfish and aggressive.
Right, but if they're the opposite... Yeah. Then it's a good thing. So that's what he's saying. Very good. Okay, she was first and then you. One second.
Things. First, yeah. There is a Yiddish saying,
yeah.
A chasaron, dikala is too shamed, which means the bride is too beautiful.
The bride is too beautiful.
So that's what you're talking about. Now, Tuba Av in Israel is called Chaka Ahava, the festival of love, and that is when fellows come and propose to
even nowadays,
and they have weddings. And my granddaughter was married on Tuba.
There you go.
The festival of love in Israel.
So now that we have Valentine's Day, the secular Valentine's Day, but there Tuba Av is our Jewish Valentine's.
There are two beauties: good looking and beautiful.
Yes.
I choose the beautiful. The looking is okay, but not so necessary for me.
Yes. Exactly. Right. Judaism doesn't say that if you're not beautiful, you have nothing. Those people can have a lot going for them, and God created everyone different.
And
yes.
People become old.
You can lose your beauty. It can fade away. Very good. That could be another thing. One second. Sheker achen. No, that's a really good point. Sheker achen vehevel ayofi. Hevel means fleeting. So even if you have yofi, beauty, when you're 20 or 30 or 40, it doesn't mean that you will have it. Yeah,
80.
That's what it means, that it's fleeting. Very good. Yeah.
You talk about beauty.
Yes.
I talk about surviving. When a baby is born with a cleft palate.
I know, we're going to get to that. Right now we just talked about the general concept of beauty. We didn't get to the plastic surgery part just yet. We will.
I divided good looking and beautiful. Beautiful is the inner beauty. Good looking is what you like to look at.
Yes.
If your husband thinks you're beautiful, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Okay, now let's move on. Okay, so we talked about beauty. So now in the context of plastic surgery, so we have to understand that when you're doing it to make yourself more beautiful, okay, that's not a bad thing necessarily, but you have to understand the balance, right? That you're going to try to enhance your looks, but you have to remember that, if you're just doing it for looks, but you're not also working on your character, so then maybe that's not the ideal in Judaism. But so that's just setting the stage. Now, yes.
It's an ugly looking woman. It is a beautiful woman.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. 100%. Okay. So, one second. So, now I want to talk about plastic surgery and the numbers and the research and the pros and the cons. So, you have some of it over there. I tried to space it out, made it large so you can read it. You can read it later also if you want. So basically, this is back in 10, 11 years ago, 11.7 million procedures, plastic cosmetic surgery, were done in 2007, right? And 10 years before that, in 1997, it was 400% less. So it's just the industry has gotten so much more, and I'm sure now, 10 years later, it's probably even more than that. So... And I would say most of the time it's women, although men can also get enhancements, but I think most of the time it's women. Now, obviously there's benefits of cosmetic surgery, but as we're going to see, you have to weigh the negative and the positive. So First of all, there's risks. Any surgery comes with risks. Thank God I haven't had surgery. Thank God. But any surgery has some risks. So, and it depends on your general health. So the healthier you are, the better candidate you are for surgery. If you have health issues, that, and I'm not a doctor, so I really don't know, but that will impede the surgery. Now, any cut made on the skin can also leave a scar, right? So that's something to think about. Although, when you have a skilled surgeon, they can figure out, it says, how to make the scar and the incision in a place where it's not noticeable, right? But that's just something to keep in mind, that when you're doing enhancements, they need to, you know, do it somehow with some instruments, and that can leave some side effects. Okay. Now, infection can always, you know, because you're dealing with, you know, a knife and blood, right, and cuts. So there's always the case for, and although I would say that if you have a qualified plastic surgeon, they're going to limit those kinds of issues. But, okay, they say maybe you can get a blood clot after extended.
I can tell a case.
Yeah.
Of a friend.
Yeah.
Her husband just adored her. She didn't have a pretty nose.
Okay.
But her husband adored her.
Yeah.
But it bothered her.
Yeah.
So she had plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Which was a failure. She got an ugly little nose, and she had a nervous breakdown over it because her husband's attitude changed. I mean, if your husband is crazy, but what do you have to go for surgery?
If it's not broken, don't fix it. We're going to talk all about that. We're going to get to that right now, the emotional self-esteem part of it. So, and then obviously there's risks with anesthesia. Again, qualified anesthesiologist should make sure you're fine, but that's just something to think about. Okay, now, that's in terms of the medical. The emotional, so most of the time patients felt better about themselves following plastic surgery. That was a study by the APA, Psychological Association. Why? Because hopefully it'll improve you, right? Like you said, you know, your nose, you make it more proportional. Other sorts of things that can enhance one's body, lips and cheeks and all that stuff. So if it goes well, you'll feel better about yourself because you feel like now I have enhanced my beauty, which is fine. Now, right, their self-image and their overall well-being was boosted. Fine. The same study, though, reported negative responses from those who had high expectations that were not fulfilled. So they thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go in and I'm going to come out looking like Audrey Hepburn, right? And it didn't happen, right? So patients who were not satisfied with the results often went in for additional work. So they didn't like how it came out, so they did it again. Others experienced periods of depression, isolation, and anger towards the doctors. They say to the doctor, to the surgeon, you're no good. You couldn't make me look like I really wanted to. And the surgeon says, you can only, you know, first of all, I guess it depends how much you do. And even if you get plastic surgery, then that doesn't mean you're going to look like a movie star. It'll enhance what you have, but if they think in their mind they're going to look like this,
and then they don't,
and they're a little bit short of that, so that could be because they spent all this money, and that's what they got. Hold on one second. Let me just get through this part, and then I'll take your question. Plastic surgeons also, he said that they should get psychological counseling, not the people, but the, although that we'll get to that in a second, they should also, but the surgeons themselves, because of the backlash from their patients that are not only unhappy with what happened, they're angry about it, right? Pre-screening by plastic surgeons, especially on people that have had previous bouts of depression or other mental health issues, can help to alleviate some of the post-surgical negative responses, right? So if everyone knows what's happening to They said they could hear.
Shoshana, can you hear him, all of it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, can you hear?
No, it's the question, can they back there hear?
Yeah.
Can you hear, Michael, have you been hearing?
Herb, that's Herb.
Herb, sorry.
Herb, can you hear what he's saying?
Yeah.
Shirley?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd just like to check, because, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, so basically, the more that the surgeons and the patients know going into it, what's going to happen, especially if they've had previous issues, so that's always good, because then you know what you're getting to. Time. Patients considering cosmetic surgery have to have time to heal after and to be comfortable being seen in public, right? Because people are going to see what happened. They go, oh, like a new nose, and even though that's what they wanted, but they have to become comfortable with it. It could take 2 to 3 weeks to recover, right? So you might have to take off work for it. How much could it be? It could be about $6,000. Now most insurance companies, you might know better than I, don't cover elective procedures, right? So the money, though, can be thought of an investment in the future, especially when improved appearance will help obtaining a job or a promotion, or as we'll see at the end, a marriage partner. So, although I saw also that it depends if it's rhinoplasty, which I think is with the nose, but it, like, and this gets to what you're saying about how it's not just cosmetic, but it's medical, then maybe it is covered. Again, I don't know all the different medical plastic surgeries, what's covered, what's not. You'll have to talk to a surgeon, insurance person about that. But, you know, it could cost money. Now, we know the people in Hollywood have plenty of money, so it doesn't matter to them. But to other people, it's something you have to consider. So, again, these are just some things to think about.
She starts talking.
Yeah.
What she's talking about, before birth, it closes up over here.
Yeah.
It doesn't close up.
Right.
The fact that there's so much plastic surgery means that this society worships youth. It does not worship old people with wisdom and they've lived. It worships youth.
Yeah.
So this is the ultimate. But people are dieting. All you see advertisements to lose weight, be like a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And the
emphasis is on youth and beauty and not on wisdom and how, you know, how other capabilities of
people are not respected. It's the young.
Yeah, my wife had a course in ageism relating to occupational therapy. Ageism, the sort of discrimination in society against the elderly. So that is a real concern, and obviously if you're worried about your body so much to do surgery on it, you're thinking not about your, you know, the intellectual. You could spend your $6,000 on a vacation or on a course, yeah, like a photography course, you know. Other things that can make you happy, you're spending on this. Again, we're not judging, but that is a choice, right, that's reflecting society. They say also obsession over a specific facial feature can indicate mental health issues, right? That if you're saying, I need a, you know, and I'm not saying in your case, but in my nose, I need to change it. I don't care, $10,000, $20,000, I need to change it. Just, you might be fine and you might just want to enhance yourself, but just keep in mind, there might be an obsession there, right? That you're thinking too much about that one body part, which might not be healthy in general. So,
all lies in within me. If I accept me with my no soul,
yeah,
this wouldn't even pay attention.
Exactly, right? If you're self-confident.
I can't hear what she said.
Okay, she's basically saying that a person should be confident in their own skin. My nose looks like it does, and that's it. Like,
but
I'm not. I don't need to change it for anyone
else.
The
society, the magazines, the paper, the television.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Another thing is that there are some health benefits. A nose job could potentially reduce sinus infections. In men, like the chest tissue could lower risk of, if you remove it, it could lower the risk of cancer, and there's other things, other enhancements or reductions that could help overall health as well. Now, there could also be pain, which could last 6 months in certain circumstances based on, you know, recovery time from surgery. And as we said before, sometimes it doesn't present the result, it doesn't produce the results that a person might think. And then here's the part about rhinoplasty. Again, right, the sinus infection. So there could be some insurance compensation for a nose job if it's helping for medical. So again, it all depends. So now, 1 second, I'll take your question in a second. So now we talked about beauty in Judaism, and now we talked about surgery and the pros and the cons. So now what I want to do at the end is to talk a little bit about the Jewish sources from different angles as to what our view is and what the opinions are about plastic surgery. So, yes.
You keep on talking about beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to you about surviving.
Yeah, you're talking about a cleft palate. I know.
Born with a cleft palate.
I know.
And the cleft palate is so complete that you go to the palate. He has to be fed.
I'm familiar.
With the syringe or his eye.
Yes.
So
that's obvious.
Plastic surgery to be able to swallow.
Yes, obviously that's going to be different, but we'll talk about that in 1 second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Jeez.
Yeah.
So we have exercise 11:30. I'd like you to wind down by then.
Okay. Yeah.
If you
want
to go to that, I want them to not be rude to you. Okay.
So let's save questions because there's exercise at 11:30. Let's just save questions for the end because I don't want you to be late.
Okay.
So just save it for the end.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. What I was going to say is that human beings have a problem with differences.
Right.
When I was a little girl, 9 years old, I was playing with three other little girls. One was deaf. She was deaf. The other two girls got behind her and said nasty things about her, and she couldn't hear them, and she was different. So she's talking about when a child has a cleft palate, the other kids won't like that.
Kid. Right, she's saying even besides for the medical part, yes.
It's needed. Race,
it's medically necessary. It's medically necessary, and it's also socially necessary as well. Yes, there's a movie that I just saw that I encourage you, maybe I'll tell Mary to get it for you, called, what's it called? Just came out a couple weeks ago. He was in a movie called Room. It was about a little boy. I'll come to me in a second. And basically he has like a facial deformity, and he had a lot of surgeries done, but there's a line in the movie when the kid says to him, "Haven't you thought about plastic surgery?" And the kid says, "Yeah, I've already gotten it." Meaning, I've already had it. Meaning, what I have now is the result of a lot of plastic surgery. You should have seen me before. And it's kind of like a humorous part of the movie. But it's also a sad part of the movie. I'll remember the name of it in 1 second. Okay, so now we're going to talk about causing a wound to oneself. Now, this is where your point comes into play. Obviously, if you have to do surgery for medical purposes, so go ahead. But
surviving.
Yes. But the question is, if you have elective surgery that you don't need, is there some sort of issue with that from Jewish law perspective? So Maimonides says that a person should not hurt themselves or a friend. Should not hurt themselves or a friend. Meaning, you might think, obviously I can't punch someone, That's against Jewish law and against secular law. But what if I want to, you know, hurt myself, right? What if I want to cut myself, God forbid? Is that fine? So the answer is no, right? God gave us our bodies, and we're supposed to respect it, right? And not just maim ourselves and hurt ourselves. So that's what he says. You're not supposed to, you know, pain yourself. V'lo achovo bovad, not just causing a bruise or an injury. Ela kol amaka adam kasher miYisrael. If you hit anyone, regardless of their sex or regardless of their age, derech nitzayon, he adds, which is important, in a combative, destructive, or violent manner, right? Harizel ver belotase, right? It's basically that's a prohibition about hurting people, about hitting people, right? So the idea is, first glance, you're not supposed to hurt yourself, which elective surgery, you're causing yourself to be cut. Now, he adds in, which is important, as I said before, that it's only when it's done derech nitzayon, in a physical way, right? You're punching someone, right? You're stabbing someone. That is a confrontational way. That's what he's talking about, which leaves open the possibility, if it's not done in a combative way, again, it can even be to yourself, right? If you're so angry that you cut yourself, that would be included. Because that's the derech nitzayon. That's also a destructive thing. But if it's not for that, so then maybe it's fine. So now we're just going to brief summarize some of the rabbi's opinions. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a case about a girl who wanted to undergo plastic surgery to look more beautiful. I think it was the nose, but I'm not sure. But she wanted to look more attractive. So she wasn't married yet, and apparently, I guess it was, she thought it was really bad. Obviously, we don't have a picture. So she wanted to get surgery to fix it. So she asked him, can I do it? So he says, he quotes Maimonides, which very simply, as we said, infers that if it's done not in a combative, violent way, but it's done in a constructive way, so basically the surgeon's knife is not cutting in a fight, in a vicious way, but it's constructive, you need it for surgery, so then that would be fine, right? Because you're doing it to beautify her. And, yes, okay. So there's another opinion also regarding the nose, to straighten and reduce the size of the nose, even though she submits to bodily injury, right? Because along the same lines that it's doing to enhance and not to harm, okay? So those are your two opinions that, and obviously if we, you know, there's more to the opinion and there's proofs and all this, but the basic idea is that the only issue, according to these rabbis, is the fact that you're potentially harming yourself for no medical reason. Obviously, if it's medical, you wouldn't even have the issue. So a cleft palate, you don't even have to ask the question. But for beauty, you do. But they say it's fine. There's a dissenting opinion, which says as follows. A person should not undergo plastic surgery in the absence of disease or pain. If you don't have a cleft palate issue or anything like that, purely cosmetic, you should not do it. Because the Torah, and it's actually in this week's Torah portion, and this might be hard to understand at first, the Torah, it seems that one might have thought that going to a doctor in general, there might be some issue with it. One school of thought could be that if you're sick, if something happened to you, so everything's in God's hands. So who says you could fix it? God meant that you should trip and hurt yourself, right? And whatever. So the Torah says in this week's Torah portion that a person has to pay, if they hurt someone, for their five payments, different issues, one of them being the medical bills. Says the Talmud, you see that you can You could be a doctor. You can go to a doctor. But if not, for this verse, the contention is that maybe you couldn't go to a doctor. Again, what the theological reasons would be, why are you interfering with God's work? But clearly you could go to a doctor based on this point. However, he says...
The rabbi said that a person should not live in a town without a doctor.
100%. I'm saying initially.
Initially.
The thought is that perhaps doctors were seen as interfering. But the Torah itself, as I said, talks about doctors. So then once we have that, okay, Maimonides himself was a doctor, so was Nachmanides, fine. However, this rabbi's opinion is that in this case, you're going to a doctor only, you're going to the plastic surgeon only to beautify yourself, not for a health reason. So he says that the allowance to go, the dispensation to go to a doctor is only for health reasons and not for cosmetic reasons. That's one issue. Another issue is that you're perhaps putting yourself in danger, even if it's slight danger, but we talked about with the anesthesia and the infection and the pain. And he says that if you have no reason to do so, you should not put yourself into danger, which we could talk a different time about, you know, skydiving and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying it's not fine, but like there is a concept of not putting yourself into danger. Now, there are some risks with plastic surgery, as we said. So that's something you have to think about. Also, the third thing, from a theological perspective, like I said before, it might be immoral for a person to start affecting themselves so drastically, basically changing the order of God's intended order. And we do have that concept that that we're not supposed to necessarily change God's... Oh, so what's the example of that? So one of the reasons why you're not supposed to graft certain fruits together is because you're changing, God made this fruit, God made that fruit, but he didn't make the combination of these two fruits. And so by doing that, one of the interpretations is that you're messing with God's world. Now, so that's what he says. Who says that you should change stuff? Leave it as it is, right? God made you like this, don't change it. So what about the other rabbis? So they might say, that's true, but God also provided us with the knowledge of how to do plastic surgery, how to enhance yourself. So you're not necessarily changing, you're enhancing, you're making yourself look a little bit better. But that's not like changing, you know, changing the order of society. That's making an improvement. And if God didn't want that, he wouldn't have allowed us to know how to do it. So we have the knowledge to do it. That's also from God. So that might be the debate right there as to...
According
yeah.
to Krishna, I have learned from someone that the reason the beard for Jewish men is that you don't touch the face with a knife.
Yes, right.
Is that so?
That is true. According to the Jewish law, you're not supposed to use a razor, which, again, we're not, I'm just saying, from the letter of the law, you're not necessarily supposed to use a razor with cream, but that's why a lot of Jewish men will use the machine razor, the plug-in razors, which is fine. Right, fine. So, the last approach... And there could be other opinions as well, but the last approach takes the middle ground. And that also gets back to what you said, which is that if the surgery is done to prevent suffering and shame caused by a defect in the looks, meaning obviously medical, fine. But even if you're a kid and you're really ashamed, right, and it's going to harm your mental state, so then you can get it, to remove a blemish, right? To improve, God forbid, if you're in a fire, you need skin graft surgery. So if you don't have it, so that would be fine. However, He says that if the only reason is beauty, then for, I guess, the aforementioned reasons, he doesn't advise it. So just basically to summarize, we talked about beauty in Judaism and how it's supposed to be in the context of good character traits. That's the most important. Beauty comes after that. It is true that the Talmud says that, and the Torah itself testifies that some of our matriarchs and other women in Tanakh were very beautiful.
And David was handsome.
Right. So it does say that. But I think the idea still is that it has to come with the inner beauty as well. Okay? Fine. Then we talked about plastic surgery itself, the risks, the benefits, and you have to think about that. And then last, we talked about harming oneself and putting oneself in a danger, right? Because surgery is not one, two, three. Even the best surgeries, surgeons, you know, there's a reason that they have medical malpractice insurance. So maybe you shouldn't put yourself into that situation. Maybe you shouldn't change God's order in the world. On the other hand, no, you're improving yourself. You're improving your self-esteem, your mental state, you're not harming the surgeon's not stabbing you, you know, in a combative way. He's doing it in a constructive way. So those are the different opinions, approaches, and attitudes in a brief way towards plastic surgery.